Merry Christmas. Woo, we're going to talk about Christmas this morning. Hallelujah. And I want to start in Galatians chapter 4. And starting at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, a promise, you know, in the first, third chapter of the first book of the Bible, that a woman would come and bear a seed. And in the fullness of time, that happened. It took place. And Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And that's what we want to do. We want to receive the adoption of sonship. Hallelujah. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And the fullness of that blessing that's in these verses is that we become heirs and sons of the living God. But I don't want to focus there today. I just want to say that, you know, God doesn't want anyone to miss Christmas this year. This is Christmas right here. It's a description of Christmas. And God doesn't want anyone to miss Christmas. And someone told me a story last week about a man who lived in Ontario here. He phoned up his son who lived in British Columbia. And he said, son, I hate to call you at Christmas time, but me and your mother have come to an end. And I can't live with her anymore. We've been married 45 years, and I've had enough. And the son said, Dad, you've got to be kidding me. You put up with each other for 45 years, and you're not just you putting up with her, but she put up with you. And so promise me you won't do anything. I want to call Sally, which was the man's daughter, and who lived in Nova Scotia. And the son lived in British Columbia. And promise you won't do nothing until you hear from us. He said, okay, I promise I won't do anything. So he phones his sister Sally up in Nova Scotia, and he talks to her and tells her the bad news. And so Sally phones the dad up and said, Dad, listen, we're going to jump in a plane in the morning. We'll be in Ontario by evening, both of us. And so her brother was coming from British Columbia. She was coming from Nova Scotia. Promise me you won't do anything. We want to come. We want to talk to you both. And Dad said, okay, I promise. I won't do anything until you get here. He hung up the phone, and he said, honey, it worked. They'll be home for Christmas. And I want to say, in the fullness of time, that when the fullness of time had come, amen, God sent forth his son. And it's crazy what parents will do to get their kids home for Christmas. But this is what your heavenly father did so that we could come home for Christmas. And Christmas was the coming of Christ. He wanted to make a pathway for us to come home. God, our Father, created Christmas. Amen. And he created it to bring his sons and daughters home. Hallelujah. And that includes everyone. Not every prison here on earth has bars that hold us in. You know, there's lots of prisons out there that don't have any bars on them. Hallelujah. Too many, as a matter of fact. And so many people don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's how you get started. Jesus, say, Jesus, I've had enough this world has to give. I invite you into my life. That's all it takes. To get a beginning, to get a start. And you can ask him to forgive you, and he will. He'll forgive you of anything. Amen. But we need to not be afraid of the gift of God. Hallelujah. And the whole world's afraid of the gift of God. they're afraid to receive them. Oh, it's going to cost too much. But like we heard from Brother Howard, it's free. Salvation is free. And we can call on Jesus, but the whole world's afraid, and they're afraid to accept Jesus. They don't know that they're in a prison that doesn't have any bars on it. And nobody knows. In the beginning, the disciples didn't know. The apostles, after Jesus died and rose again, they knew then, but they didn't know before. And people are missing Christmas because they're afraid to accept the Christ. And Jesus is the reason for the season. There is no other reason. And so this first verse here that we read, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Praise God. To redeem us, to set us free. And there's a saying, I want to read it to you. It's about accepting Jesus. It says, he's no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. And it's talking about life. Amen. He's no fool who gives what he can't keep to gain what he cannot lose. And talking about life. And so, there's so many prisons in our world that doesn't have bars on them. But God sent forth his Son to redeem those who are under the law. And because the law brought us into captivity, nobody was ever able to fulfill the law but one, Jesus. And so all the law did for us was bring us into a wilderness of a Christian walk. But Jesus come to deliver us from the wilderness and to redeem us from the law. Amen. This prison without bars, and it was a prison to God's people. It revealed to them that we're all sinners. That's what it did, its job there. Amen. But it brought us into a wilderness, and the Bible's full of stories of prisons without bars. There was a lady named Esther. She became a queen, and in her day, there was a man named Haman who devised a plan, and the king went along with it. It was going to kill every Jew on the earth. And that is a prison without bars. That's what a prison without bars looks like. But God raised up Esther and delivered them from that thing. We have Moses who appears at the burning bush. There's a whole nation held in slavery. It wasn't prisons with bars. They were all held in slavery, and there's no way they were going free. And the Lord sent Moses down there with a few lines, a few words of a line. Can you imagine Moses going down to this mighty king? God said, let my people go. I mean, would you be timid? Would you be shy? Would you be bold? God said, let my people go. Or maybe I'd have a squeaky voice. God said, let my people go. Amen. That's the only line he gave them. And that word of God shook that place. And the prisoners were set free. It was a prison there without bars. Same thing happened in Elijah's day. Amen. All the people turned away from God and they turned to Baal. And they worshiped Baal, and they found themselves in a prison without bars. But Elijah comes along, kills all the Baal prophets, and turn the hearts of the people back to God. And the queen was upset, Queen Jezebel. So she put a hit out on Elijah. We think that only happens today. You know, you turn the 6 o'clock news on. Targeted shooting down on such and such a street. Yeah, it was happening thousands of years ago. Queen Jezebel put a hit on Elijah. But it wasn't successful. Hallelujah. They were in a prison without bars. And when Elijah came along and helped them out of it, she wasn't too happy. It happened in Elisha's day as well. Him and his servant woke up, and the city is surrounded. Boss, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, Lord, open up his eyes. And what happened was, he began to see that there was more on his side than there was against them. Amen. Another prison without bars. And they were all set into place beforehand. These heroes in the Bible, they were set in. And in their day, there was a crisis going on. And they were people that God raised up in the middle of a crisis. And because they believed God, The world's a different place that we live in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because someone stood up on behalf of the Lord. Amen. And so I'm kind of getting lost here, but a little bit. So we think that, oh, yeah, but these Bible stories, nobody's like that today. People aren't like that today. And or we can't measure up to what these people were. But it says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, I love this. My wand's not working. Oh, the battery must be burned out. Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist, okay, he was from the old covenant. He was the last of the prophets. And Jesus is saying he's the greatest of them all. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Hallelujah. And so the beautiful thing, you should have been here Wednesday morning at the Bible study. I really enjoyed it. And John the Baptist was standing beside his cousin Jesus. And they were cousins. John represented the old covenant. Jesus represented the new covenant. And for a short time, just a few minutes, the old and new covenant existed at the same time. Hallelujah. Jesus represented one and John represented the other. And Jesus came to cause men and women to be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what that is, I would get on my knees in a private room at home and say, Lord, I want to know what it is to be born of the Spirit of God. I want to know what these guys are talking about. I don't want to hear about it. I want to experience it. Amen. And that was the big difference between the old and new covenant. Amen. Jesus said he's going to usher in a spiritual kingdom that you have to be born again to enter into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, John 3:5 says, most assuredly, I say unto you, lest one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't realize we're in a prison without bars, and that Jesus has come to usher in a spiritual kingdom, and he makes us spiritually alive. And, you know, when I'm finished with this old vehicle I call a body, it's going to be not going in the ground. No way, Jose. Not sticking me in the ground. But you can burn my body and sprinkle my ashes in the air. And because I'll be done with this old vessel, this old body. But spiritually, I'll be alive. Spiritually, I'm going to be the same. I'm going to be better. And you know, death of the body is the final disconnect from Adam's fallen race. And so Jesus ushered in a kingdom. Hallelujah, in the New Testament, a spiritual kingdom that makes us alive. And it's a total different from the Old Testament, which was a wilderness journey from beginning to end. And can you imagine living your whole life by your old nature, trying to fulfill a law that nobody else could keep? To me, that's a wilderness journey. Amen. But when Jesus came in the New Testament, he brought springs in the desert. Amen. And so he causes us to be born of the Spirit. He brings us. He said the kingdom of God won't be here, won't be there. It'll be in you. It's a spiritual kingdom, and there's a spiritual king, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the Old Testament begins and ends in a wilderness journey. And there's a wonderful picture of this wilderness journey in the book of Exodus, and really it's an allegory. And if you look up the word allegory in the dictionary, it says a hidden meaning, a story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral one or a spiritual journey. And that's what the Old Covenant was. It was a spiritual journey, and Moses led the children of Israel across the wilderness, and they got as far as the impossible river, a river that was impossible to cross. Moses and the law could only take them as far as the impossible river. Praise God. And in the Old Covenant, the story goes that God sent a man named Joshua. And God opened up that impossible river and allowed them across into the promised land. But in the New Testament, God sends a New Testament Joshua. Hallelujah. And if you translate his name in Hebrew, it means Yeshua. Nobody said concern tight. But his name was Yeshua, meaning God with us. And if you translate Joshua's name into English, it's Jesus. Amen. And he's the one that's led us across the impossible river, the sin that separates man and God. He's the one, hallelujah, who's brought us into a new covenant. And that's what Christmas is all about. And that's why I want to shout Merry Christmas today. It's all about living in a new creation. It's about living in a new covenant, being born of the Spirit of God, made alive when I was dead in my sins and trespasses. Hallelujah. And so Moses and the law could only lead us as far as the promised land. It was a wilderness journey. Hallelujah. And the law and Moses could only lead us so far to the river of impossibility. But Jesus has come and removed the river of impossibility. So whoever wants to receive Christ can. Hallelujah.